Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones-Gunn.
Hello, listeners. This session is super, super dear to my heart. I've got one of my, as I said in part one, one of my favorite people, one of the most inspirational women I have ever met in my life. And I've met some pretty inspirational women. But this is my dear friend and a woman I love, Stacey Callender. And we're going to talk a little bit about Stacey Callender's present, I want to call it battle with glioblastoma, because on one level it is. But I want to talk about all that the Lord is doing. And I'm going to start this session just with something that I got in the mail. So there is a, as you could probably guess, there is a group of us, and Michelle Wolf sends out blasts on how we can pray. So when Stacey has a seizure, when something goes awry, and this blast has been going out since her diagnosis, and we've all been praying.
3 years ago, Stacey?
That's correct.
3 years ago. And we'll talk a little bit about when that happened and kind of those things. But this is what Stacey said. She said, I want to talk about all the answered prayer.
Yes.
What a way to look at it. She said, I'm alive. My organs have not been damaged by all the chemo, radiation, and medication. Doctors are amazed at this. We'll talk about that in the scripture and the promise the Lord gave you. I still have my hair. I have not thrown up from the chemo and radiation. I have been able to talk, walk, and do most everyday things. And even after countless seizures, Jesus keeps restoring me. Hospital stays are short and recoveries by God's grace are quick. Hand-holding and precious times with my husband and family I'm thankful for. I have seen God's provision in putting Scott in a job with a Christian focus and Christian men. Incredible generosity with help and wonderful meals. Getting cards and encouragement every day in the mail or through calls. Being able to read, having the Bible read to me. Divine appointments and opportunities to share Jesus and grow in grace and truth. That was written October 13th, 2025. And that's after at least a 2.5 year battle where your medication has been changed how many times?
I don't even know.
Quite a few.
It's just, okay, let's try this. That's fine. I feel like each time I get to go into the doctor's office, this is a possible divine appointment because I feel like I'm there for them, even though they think they're there for me. And they are helping me.
That's so beautiful. You're a little secret agent.
Little mission field, little missionary there.
Yes.
So, Stacey, I remember you were a group leader for Joyful Life. You had started the podcast with Moms in Prayer, both which were going stunningly well. And as we mentioned, I think at the first one, you used to be the chairperson. I mean, you were organizing, leading of all our WIN Leaders Lead retreats, which were, you know, pretty substantial, pretty big, had a lot of nuances and details to them that you were covering. And it was during this time you used to run with your daughter, or you would walk. Well, actually, you had run and you had to stop because you started having vertigo.
Yeah.
But you didn't know what that vertigo was caused by.
No, I didn't. You know, always clueless about medical conditions. I don't know. But I did know I was dizzy and but I didn't know what was coming after that and going to, you know, do exercises to help with the vertigo. And that did stop. And so there is a gap between this, between this prayer walk where something was big going
to
happen.
And then you had the what appeared to be a grand mal seizure that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and without our cell phones. So my daughter and I, my oldest daughter and I, were on a walk, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm seeing blinking lights, and what's, I'm not sure what's going on, but then I think I fell to the ground, and she didn't have her cell phone. I hadn't brought mine. We were just on a walk thinking nothing, you know, it was just a normal day, and Megan had to flag down somebody with a cell phone to call. Mm. And I was having, I believe it was a grand mal, but my seizures are huge and long.
Mm. So here's a miracle. So she, Megan works in the children's ministry with special needs at Mariners. And one of the little boys with special needs, his father is a brain surgeon and he works with Kaiser. But you didn't have Kaiser at the time.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, and actually, this little guy's, this little special needs boy who Megan adores and gets to share and care for while his parents are in the, you know, listening to the message. They live next to their parents. So his grandparents live next to an incredible incredibly gifted brain surgeon or surgeon just. And he got as I rushed to there, I think all of the hospitals.
And they had no room at the hospitals.
Yes.
So instead of being able to go to like Hoag Hospital, yeah, which is her hospital, she has to go to Hoag. She has to go to Kaiser, which mm-hmm. is the very hospital that this surgeon, who they've got this connection through this little boy, works at.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And he cared for me so beautifully. He I was rushed to Kaiser Irvine, and this surgeon is out of Anaheim, but he was told the story, and this mom of this little boy with special needs, she's begging, like, you gotta help this lady, you know, my family has been such a blessing. Such a blessing. You've got to help this family. Will you look at this case? Because I was in a terrible position. And so that surgeon hears the story and he can't sleep. He can't sleep. So he drives all the way to Irvine to help me. And he puts me on. I think of this as the Good Samaritan. He's my Good Samaritan. Jesus mm. had him be the Good Samaritan. He puts me in his ambulance, and which is, you know, like on a little donkey, kind of, you know, Good Samaritan. And then I'm taken to his hospital, mm. and he does the surgery, and he does an excellent surgery, and I'm taken care of by him. And then we get to minister, because after that, I get a Bible. I highlight the Good Samaritan story, put the little bookmark in it, and write how I see him as the way that Jesus brought him to me as the Good Samaritan. And he writes back, and that is a treasure to him. The Bible is a treasure to him. We get to share with him. He stayed in contact with us. He knows I can't continue being treated by him, but he wanted to speak for me to my next doctor, and he did. He did do that. And so I've been taken care of in such special, amazing, miraculous ways this entire journey.
Now, when she was having the seizure, she couldn't talk. She couldn't recognize people. And when it came as such a shock to all of us who know her, because Stacy was the picture of health, picture of health. And I mean, if anyone, I mean, you would say, I'd love to be as healthy as Stacy. And so at that point, when we find this out, we all go to prayer. We're praying for you. And the Lord brings you out and you're able to talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, it shocks me that you were able to, at that point, read the Bible or to be able to underline. Mm-hmm. So, I was told to ask you about some of your losses and how the Lord has used some of those losses for gain.
You know, the Lord promises that he can work all things together for good. Yes. And I have got to see that firsthand. So in this time of suffering, in this time of this is difficult. I'm human. I cry. We've never done brain surgery before, like treatment and how you keep going on for this. It's hard going to the doctors. It's hard taking the medication. It's hard doing what they want me to do and going through the infusions. But there's two pathways that I get to go. It's either, am I going to be sad over this and think about this, or am I going to look at this as an opportunity? Jesus has placed me here. And so who do I get to share Jesus with? And so I am excited for that each day. Doesn't mean it's not hard. I feel, in a time of suffering, in a time of loss, I heard Jesus say to me, you know, in a time where I was just like, I'm sad. He's like, Stacy, you're still my masterpiece. And I was like, whoa, I didn't even realize that I was thinking that I wasn't anymore, but I get to be his masterpiece. He has good works for me prepared before the start of time that I get to do this. But I have cried and my family's, I try not to let them see me cry because it's hard on them too. And, but sometimes I get to cry happy tears. I'm like, it's happy tears. It's happy tears. Don't worry. I'm seeing Jesus better. I'm the fellowship of suffering. That's real. I get to know my Jesus better. One of my latest difficulties is that the doctors sort of don't know what to do with me. That's what I'm thinking. And because they're putting more medicine on me, and then the tumor's growing back, and the tiniest tumor, I can have a seizure. My doctor's like, you shouldn't be having a seizure. The tumor is so tiny. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And so then I have another doctor. I call them Team Stacy because Jesus has organized this team. And so I go to this other doctor, epilepsy doctor, and he wants me to go in to the hospital for a week and so that they can study my brain and induce the seizures. And I'm like, I go, doctor, you know I have the really bad seizures, right, that you're going to induce?
This does not sound like a great plan.
I know. And he's like, Stacy, I know. And I was just thinking, like, that's Jesus. He lets us say, oh, Jesus, you know this is really bad. Like, it's going pretty bad. And he's like, I know, Stacy. I know, Stacy. And so I was in the hospital for the 7 days, and I believe I had, you know, basically, when they took me off the medicine and they're putting those, I call it My Little Pony because that's what I look like.
The
I have
probes,
all
yeah.
of those
probes.
Wires
yep.
coming off of me and
yeah.
and studying my brain, I immediately have a seizure. And so I'm looking at, and then I don't think that they know. And so I start trying to speak Spanish because I tell them I'm having a seizure. And I'm like, you're not understanding in English, so I'm going to try to tell you in Spanish I'm having a seizure. I can see them kind of smirking because I don't make sense when I have a seizure. And so here we are studying my brain. I have 4 seizures in the hospital. And then and after a seizure, it takes a little time to recover. Jesus is amazing that I even am able to recover, but I'm not the same. I have difficulty speaking. I have difficulty finding words. And then my epilepsy doctor wants me to have a test, a 4-hour test to see how much I'm thinking, see how much brain capacity I have left and how better to treat me. The entire council has studied my case because they're just like, what should we do next? So mm-hmm. this is part of the study, and I have to take this 4-hour, like, a test is going to be very difficult on me because I like to get A's. I do. I just have to admit it. And I knew I wasn't going to get an A. And my husband, who's so kind, was like, does she really have to take this test? You know, trying to protect me. And the doctor's like, yeah, she really, I really wanted to take this test. And I'm like, I don't want to take this test, Jesus, but I'm willing if I have to. You know, not my will, but your will be done. I'll go take it, but this is going to go bad. I'm not going to do well on this test. I'm for sure not going to get an A. And so I go in and I say, well, first with Scott and I said, can we pray that I won't cry and that whoever's doing the test is going to be kind, please? And so we pray for that. And that does happen. Jesus answers that prayer. But the test is really hard. And I tell the doctor, can you see the steam falling off my head because I'm trying so? She goes, I can see you're trying so hard. And one of the questions was, name as many animals as you can name. And I say, ostrich. And I can say no more. I can say no more. I'm trying so hard. She's been making notes. And I have to tell you, I just had studied the book of Job with my daughter and listening to John Corson's commentary and, you know, anywhere I can learn because I have to listen by hearing. Listen. Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant to say. And so I want to say Leviathan, but I know that I'm going to get marked down for that because I think it's a real animal. So I'm fixated on ostrich. And so we move on, and I'm like, oh, too bad on that one. And more hard questions, and I do really poorly on math, and that's really hard for me and hard for me on names. It's a disability from all of the pummeling of the seizures and the brain cancer. Like, there's a hole in my head. And so we move on to another question, and this one all is different. But I get to describe an animal. So then I start describing. And she's going to say the name. So I start saying really dumb, faster than a horse, stomps on its young. And she's perplexed, as you can imagine. And
I am too.
Leviathan.
I'm faster than horse. I go, well, maybe. And she says cheetah. And I said, well, no. I go, well, maybe. But that's not the animal I'm trying to share with you. And she moves on because I do poorly on that part of the test, too. And then she shows pictures of stuff. And I'm supposed to, and it's obscure stuff.
Wait. What animal was it?
Hang on. It's coming.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is exciting. The suspense. I know. Is it killing you? Okay. So she shows a picture. And it's an ostrich.
How did that sound? Oh, the ostrich. That's right.
What do they do to their young?
They can stomp on the young because they're really dumb.
They lay their eggs and just leave them, and they can go running across. Okay. And yeah,
yeah.
Wow.
Very, very.
And remember, those are eggs.
Yes. And so I finished the test, and she says, would you like to hear your results? Would you like your husband to come back in? And I said, sure.
And bad enough, but I have to hear the results. We have to have an audience too.
I know. I figured he's with me because he's so, holding my hand.
He'll find out anyhow. Might as well bring him in.
And we kind of know what my disabilities are, but this had to be recorded, I guess. And so she starts sharing some of the things I can't do, and that hurts. And some of the things I know and some of the things I didn't know that I do. And then she's asking Scott, my husband, questions. Does she do this? Does she do that? And as he's saying those things, I'm just like, oh, I do that. I can't do that. I'm learning some things that are new about me and that I've lost. And it makes me sad. And then we go out of that. And then I run into my epilepsy doctor, and he's like, hi, Stacy. I'm so frequent in these doctor's offices that they know my face. And so we go into his office, and he said, would you like to know the results of what the council, I don't think that's exactly what it's called, but anyways, you get my
Stacy team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what they think your next steps should be. And it's option number one that sounds terrible, more brain surgery. And then option number two that sounds, it takes out more of my brain surgery. And I'm like, Yay. I will think about that. And thank you for sharing that with me. And we go home. And Scott says, what do you need? He said, I just need to cry. Mm-hmm. I just need you to hug me. And so I cry. And he hugs me. He's like, now what do you need? I said, I need time with my Jesus. I need time with my Jesus. And so I go to Jesus and I say, Jesus, I'm just so sad. I'm just so sad. Will you help me? Will you give me something? I need you. I need to hear from you because I'm so sad. He said, Stacy, do you remember the ostrich? That flashing before my face. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I remember the ostrich. He said, you weren't in there for that doctor. Or you weren't in there for that test. You weren't in there for you. You were there for the doctor. And the ostrich is such a crazy, unique animal that she's going to find me. You were planting seeds of me. Do you know in the book of Job, out of all the animals, Jesus, the Lord could choose in that space to reveal his glory. The ostrich is on there. And I gave the exact description of the that ostrich. And the doctor said, as I'm leaving, you know, you taught me something today. I go, yeah, I did. You should look it up about the ostrich. And so could it be like John Corson says in his when in a sermon, he's like, why did the Lord make the ostrich? Why would he make a dumb animal? Seems defective. It does this, but the book of Job predates the flood. And so
God preserved it.
God made the ostrich.
Oh.
And could it be, you know how the Lord leaves the 99 and goes after the one? Mm. Could it be that he, in his extravagant grace, in his love, that he created this odd animal just for her salvation? That she would be, this wise doctor would be willing to look it up. Could this Stacy be right about this description? I gave the exact description that's in the Bible.
It's amazing.
And it's so odd.
Yes, it is.
And she could be so curious.
Well, you had me stumped.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I was like, Leviathan.
Yeah. Leviathan is it. But that. It excited me so much. And he's using the foolish things to share with somebody who's wise. The Lord gave her the wisdom. The Lord gave me this position. I got to be the one to share this with her. This is a seed of Jesus planted in this doctor. And the Lord going after her soul through me.
You know,
and then I was like, I'm good now.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm not sad anymore, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for
And no one expects this. No one expects Stacy to be so filled with joy and to care about them. Stacy, though you didn't mention this, I was told, asks the nurses, how can I pray for you? She asks the doctors, how can I pray for you? And do you know those doctors and nurses actually tell her how? Tell her what they need.
That's beautiful.
So there's this ministry. And I'm thinking of all the things that you've lost because you can't read, you can't cook, you know, all those things that, you know, I know used to do because we used to swap recipes and all those things that you used to do, even shopping, picking out your clothes, all those things. What you haven't lost and what God prepared you for, like you said, is you can pray. Mm-hmm. And this is you can keep talking to Jesus and you can talk about Jesus. As you said, that implanted word is still there. I just pray that you are as inspired by Stacy as the doctors and the nurses have been, as Robin and I are presently, and that her life will speak to you just as it's spoken to others. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Women
Worth Knowing. Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.